Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Jesus, turning away from sick and disabled people, looking for healing, people like me.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and that's Johnny Erickson Tata reflecting on a time when Jesus walked away from people in need.
And that's when it hit me. It's not that Jesus did not care about all those sick and disabled people at the bottom of the hill. It's just that their physical problems were not his main focus. The gospel was, the gospel of Jesus that says sin kills, hell is real. But God is merciful. His kingdom can change you, and I am your passport. I always thought physical healing had been the big deal. But as far as God was concerned, my soul was the bigger deal.
More from Johnny today at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Hi, I'm glad you could make it.
Wow, your house looks amazing.
Thanks. We just had our whole house painted by Peak Painting. They even refinished all of our cabinets.
They did a beautiful job. I really like the colors.
They had their in-house designer help me with my color selection. The whole process was so easy. You should have them do a free estimate at your house. Just go to peakpainting.com to book an appointment. That's peakpainting.com.
I'm pulling it up on my phone right now.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peakpainting.com.
Painting services come with a 9-year labor and materials warranty. Some exclusions apply. Contact peakpainting.com for details. That's Peak Painting, peekpainting.com.
Welcome to the open road of freedom, where endless horizons beckon you to leave the day's stress behind. Win the ultimate getaway vehicle, a Jeep Wrangler 4xe, or a share of $50,000 in slot free play from Chumash Casino Resort. Drawings every Sunday in July, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Welcome to freedom. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon. This is Darsha Stebbins sitting in for Susanna Luthi. And I actually haven't heard what's happening with Susanna, so maybe Kevin can fill me in on that. I've been in and out of being able to listen to the radio today and somewhat over the weekend with the events. Would love to, I of course had some things planned for today, but would love to hear from you, we the people, we'll call it we the people, 238-5775. So I have been reading, I've heard Donald Trump's statement with regard to selecting J.D. Vance as his vice president. I'm not sure that I've heard the entire statement, so I'll see if I can call it up here and get the entire statement. It says, after, this is from Donald J. Trump, after lengthy deliberation and thought and considering the tremendous talents of many others, I've decided that the person best suited to assume the position of vice president of the United States is Senator J.D. Vance of the great state of Ohio. J.D. honorably served our country in the Marine Corps, graduated from, and that's Corps, not Corps, Corps, graduated from Ohio State University in 2 years, summa cum laude, and it's a Yale Law School graduate where he was editor of the Yale School, the Yale Law Journal, and president of the Yale Law Veterans Association, J.D.'s books, Hillbilly Elegy, became a major bestseller and movie as it championed the hardworking men and women of our country. J.D. has had a very successful business career in technology and finance, and now, during the campaign, will be strongly focused on the people he fought so brilliantly for, the American workers and farmers in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Minnesota, and far beyond. So I think it's clear that he's making a statement. Perhaps he already had made his choices before the weekend's events. But with J.D. Vance, you have a person that's centered in Ohio, has the military background with the veterans, but being in the the Midwest, it's not exactly West, but Midwest, that you have the states that are going to be critical to having a Donald Trump victory for the elections. So this specifically the states of Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, they keep trying to turn blue. And, okay, I did just get a note from our secret squirrel here. And she had a baby boy, and we don't know the name. So thank you, Kevin. Congratulations, Susanna. Boys are fun. So anyway, having somebody come from the state of Ohio as a senator, that's an incredible boost to the campaign because it does give you the military background and gives you those Midwest states. And as I said, in Pennsylvania, other side is trying to turn Pennsylvania, which has been just a conservative stronghold, red, and with the events of this last weekend, call it an assassination attempt because that appears to be what it is, that we want to be able to have that as a stronghold, that whole area, so that those electoral college votes can go toward President Trump. And they've got an uphill battle. I just keep saying it's becoming more and more obvious. Thank you. So pushing back, standing up, and just saying, no, the insanity stops right here. Every person in our lives here in Paso Robles, in Atascadero, Templeton, San Miguel, these communities where we have conservative values, will say, and I'm speaking to people who maybe they've been Democrats their entire life. I find it hard to believe that you can't see what has happened with the values that the Democrat Party is putting forward. But I'm not here to talk about partisan, whether it's Democrat, Republican. I don't really care. I come to it from the Republican Party, but I come to it as a person, as a human being, looking at some of the insanity that we have been given this narrative that somehow we have to go along with the insanity, the stuff that's in our schools, that, you know, even the board meeting, the Board of Supervisors meeting last Tuesday, I wanted to cover some of that because that was an incredible meeting to be there and witness that in person. Unbelievable. I, of course, there was regarding the agenda item number 14 that had to do with purchasing Dominion, extending or actually having a Dominion contract. It's still not clear to me that we even had a Dominion contract for several years. To me, it looks like it expired back in 2022. But nonetheless, the Board of Supervisors on a 4-5-4-1 vote decided to have the Dominion contract for 5 years in our county, in addition to then approve having a larger, faster, more expensive counting machine in our county and replacing that three of the tabulators that had been there before that had only really been through five elections cycles, so not really overworked, and 33 remote ballot printers. So the issue last week, there were two issues that were agendized, the Dominion contract and also the water They were trying to push forward a budget. The board will say Bruce Gibson, Jimmy Paulding, and Don Ortiz-Legge, supervisors from 2, 3, and 4th district, pushing forward an item that had to do with the water districts that were not actual under the terms of the memorandum of understanding that Greg Raywald's been talking about, Murray Powell's been talking about. Those items, they were trying to put forward a budget that has never been passed by any of the actual districts themselves, let alone having it come to the county, who now is trying to give up some of their percentage over to this, as Greg calls it, the fake water district, the Estrella Pomar Creston district, and allocate costs to them, but they have no way to be able to produce revenues. They have no way to actually be able to distribute water. And so the point of both number 14 and number 15 was that they should not have been on the consent agenda. Those for the Ralph M. Brown Act, that is for public transparency. And for public transparency, both of those items should have been a business presentation, or should have been some kind of presentation saying, hey, we want input from the public. But they don't want input from the public. And that was very, very clear. Then what transpired was, because they had later on in the consent agenda a resolution for the Pride Month, and it wasn't Gay Pride Month, it would just said Pride Month for the month of June, and wanting to put forward that resolution. So then what transpired is a resident of South County, I know exactly who it is, I'm not sure whether I say her name or not, but she brought forward what is transpiring in San Francisco, in a park in San Francisco at a Pride rally, so a Pride parade. And it involved nudity. It involved some lewd acts, what you would normally consider to be lewd acts. And it involved an interview with police officers on this video. And the interview with the police officers was basically, we aren't really going to do anything because there's not any, it's not violent. And they're exercising their First Amendment rights. So then this became an issue, because as she continued with the video and the next speaker continued with the video, then two of the supervisors, one especially, Jimmy Paulding, kept saying, this is pornographic. We have to be able to stop this. And county council, I mean, it was chaos. County council is saying, well, you know, she was trying to figure out what she needed to do, because yes, one, it was the speaker's First Amendment right in public comment to be speaking on this. And it was, let's just say, if you've ever gone to a nude beach, there are some things that are better left to the imagination. And that's how I would describe it. So we're sitting there in a live meeting, Board of Supervisors meeting, and it's chaos because there are nude men, mostly men, some women, walking around. There's children there, and the interview is interviewing the parents of the children who are trying to get to the park over on the other way. And there were some things that I would not have wanted my children, if they were that age, to be going forward. It's just not age appropriate. And the whole purpose of all of this was because this is exactly what has been in our junior high, even at elementary school, junior high and high school. And so the person that was presenting this had already sent to every single one of the Board of Supervisors a binder that had this material in, and said, this material is in our school. Please, please, can we look at what is age appropriate? So it was, now if you go and you try to look at that Board of Supervisors meeting and the video, it took 2 days before they put that video up. And now they've cut out the part where they had the interview with the police officers, and they've cut out the part, they've blurred the nakedness, and they've cut out the part with the interview with the police officers, and they cut out the part where you had literally had a person kneeling in a kiddie pool, and you had men taking turns urinating on the person in the kiddie pool. So I'm sorry to say, but that is what transpired in this Board of Supervisors meeting. So we have some First Amendment rights issues, and we have some issues where, you know, there were members of the gay community that came forward saying our American flag is the unity flag. Instead of flying different flags for different organizations or different this or different that, the American flag is what unifies us. The stars and stripes and the blue background and those and the stars in the blue background. And I actually so appreciated that she came forward. And as we know, a member of the gay community saying, we don't want this. Exhibitionism, truly, is probably a better word for it. We don't want this. This is not what we want to have in our schools. It's not what we want to have for our youth. And we can be unified under the American flag in our community. So when we're talking about unity and all the rhetoric that's now happening is about unity, well, let's look at exactly where we're at. So now you're calling for unity when you realize that you've crossed the line. Oh, let's unify. So folks, I'd love to hear from you today. I wanted to mention that when the announcement came out about J.D. Vance, I wanted to mention that because I'm hoping that as Americans, we can unify, that we can see, and if the more we stand up and speak and use our First Amendment rights to show that what has been happening in the last several years especially, but let's say the last 12 years, has been about making things partisan, about dividing us, about skin color, about eye color, about features, about whatever it is to divide us. So I'm all for unity, but I'm not unifying under the same values that they are trying to say that I'm a bigot or I'm a racist or I'm whatever I am. Oh, the last week I'm a fraudster, so, and an election denier. Well, I've never denied an election happened. I just deny that it was counted accurately. So let's get that straight. And a fraudster, I thought that we couldn't use the word fraud unless it was adjudicated in a courtroom. Well, I went to a courtroom, the county took me to court, and the judge affirmed in my favor. I still have yet to receive the $640 and whatever it was, 8 cents or something from the county. They're saying they're not going to pay it because they think they don't owe it. So citizen taxpayers have to come forward, stand up and say, this is, you know, I've done everything according to these regulations, laws, codes, whatever you want to use. And, you know, I'm have my right to be able to defend myself, and I'm defending myself lawfully. So now that this has been determined, you need to pay up. So I'll continue to move that forward, but would love to hear from you. 238-5775 as to the vice president pick, as to the events this this weekend. And I have actually heard one that I thought was a very interesting presentation of what events may have transpired, that perhaps there was someone in the line of sight behind the shooter that they're saying is actually doing it. And folks, we've had a lot of false flags. We've had a lot of where you really have to use your discernment when there's just things that don't quite add up. I would just ask you, continue to seek the truth. And that's what I continue to try to do. Anytime I come up against the county, anytime I come up against people who think I, whatever they think of me, but every time I've said, I'm trying to find out what the truth of it is. Actually, what is the truth here? And when you're seeking the truth and you're actually trying to make sense of what's happening and you realize I'm trying to make sense of something that doesn't make sense. Why is that? Let's keep peeling back a layer, peel back a layer, peel back a layer. And at some point, we will get to the truth of it. And sometimes that truth, people will believe a lie because they fear the truth. We have Mike Brown, who hopefully will be calling in a little bit. And I think at 1:30, there was an announcement. So we will be taking calls for people who have theories about, I guess I love conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theories about this weekend, about what transpired, why there were some security breakdowns. I wasn't able to listen to the entire Dan Bongino show this morning, but I'm positive that people here have military experience, have experience, and everyone that I have seen posting have said there were some serious concerns with the security here. And if there are serious concerns, what were the breakdowns? Why did this happen? And was it on purpose? Was there at some point, was part of this on purpose? And even going there, you know, it makes you angry. And when I'm talking to people, I'm angry. I'm angry because I feel like I've been lied to. And I'm angry because I think I might be right. And, you know, I'm hoping I'm wrong. And when I talk to people, they're angry because they're trying to have to now defend something that is so ridiculous that even they're going, geez, you know, I might be wrong. And what's that saying? That it's easier to fool someone than it is to tell them and have them acknowledge that they've been fooled. So hopefully we're not on that side. I think KPRL listeners are the most amazing people and really understand what is going on and really willing and coming forward to step up. So we're going to a break at this point. Again, Darsha Stebbins sitting in for Susanna Luthi. Please go ahead, give me a call, let me know what your conspiracy theories are, and perhaps we'll have some theories for the for the other side of this break. Thanks so much.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care. All your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Jill Nato. Former President Trump officially nominated to be the Republican Party's presidential candidate. He also announced on social media that Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio will be his running mate. And he did it soon after Republican National Committee Secretary Vicki Drummond announced,
"The Republican National Committee hereby directs that a national convention of delegated representatives of the Republican Party be convened in Milwaukee, Wisconsin."
As for the attempted assassination of the former president, the FBI says other threats were found on the dead would-be killer.
Investigators say they found bomb-making materials in the shooter's home and rudimentary explosive devices in his car.
That's Fox's Jonathan Seri. Until NATO, this has been a Fox.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
And again, it's Darsha Stebbins sitting in for Susanna Luthi, who now I know she had a baby boy. Congratulations, Susanna. So however long she wants to be out and caring for her new baby, it's fine with me. I love coming into the station, being able to talk with people as they're calling in and discussing the events that have been transpiring. I also wanted to, I alluded to this morning, I called in because Kevin Will had mentioned the Republican Party convention. And I happen to know that the delegates that have been sent from California to the Republican Party convention are mostly people who have not been Trump delegates in the past. If at all possible, they've been looked over, and people who are either never Trumpers or people who are not necessarily in agreement with President Trump, those are the delegates from California. So we will go to the phone lines and
please
welcome caller. Thank you. You're on KPRL.
Thank you, Darsha. Hey, this morning there was a caller that called in to Kevin, and I'm sure you were listening, but he was running a thing of maybe we shouldn't have electoral college and that we should just use a, you know, the largest amount of voters. And I couldn't believe that. And I want your opinion on it. But I'm like, we have 58 counties in this state. And I would say at least 53 of those counties who are the majority of the acreage in this state of California don't have the population. And they don't have any representation just because of that fact. And I don't understand why somebody can't realize that the reason they set it up where you get two senators and your representatives is so your senators are representing what's going on in your area. And we lost that representation in the state of California a while back with a because of a lawsuit thing. And
yeah, that was the Reynolds versus Sims case. Mm-hmm. Back with the Warren.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. So here we are. We're sending representatives you were just talking about to the convention. And I don't feel that we have the proper representation from what our state needs instead of what the demographics in three or four of the main cities, what they want.
Well, Greg, that actually is exactly correct, and that's one of the things that I've appreciated learning about our history and learning about California and why we are where we are, because with that case, that Supreme Court case, Reynolds versus Sims, back in the 60s, I'm not exactly sure which year, but back in the 60s, what that did was enable the California senators to represent population and not represent an area, a district, or the resources of that area. So in the senators are actually supposed to, that's why we have House of Representatives that is based on population, and we have the senators, two from every state. So Delaware, Rhode Island, the smaller states have two senators, just like the larger states in population have two senators. So it's supposed to be mirrored. The state is supposed to be mirroring the Article 4, Section 4, and I think I can turn to it pretty quickly. Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution says the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government, and shall provide each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. So has California had an invasion? Has California had a domestic violence? Does California have a Republican form of government? And that what that means is that you have representation. So no, we have not had representation because we have a senator, a state senator, that's representing 11 counties. Now, how can anyone possibly represent 11 counties?
Well, no, this is exactly correct. And there's so many directions I could go with that. It's unbelievable. Did you know, and I'm going to carry on with a couple things. Mayorkas, for whatever reason, because of Homeland Security, is somehow controls the Secret Service. How that happens, I have no idea. And we have DEI putting certain people in Secret Service. How can you have a woman that's 5'2" trying to cover a body that's 6'6"?
Well, and you have been in firefighting.
So we'll eliminate Pugsley for a minute, that really is 20 years old, shouldn't be there. None of this stuff where you can't perform and do your job. Maybe she could do her job if she was guarding one of the munchkins in The Wizard of Oz. But she can't guard Trump. She can't cover his body. So that's ridiculous. And I was on a team that was always available when President Reagan landed in Century City. We were checked out by the Secret Service. We talked to the Secret Service. I know exactly what they did. They know exactly what we were supposed to do. And we have gone so far off to one side. But getting back to this representation, you can take what our federal government is doing, what our state is supposed to do, and what our local government is supposed to do, and look at how our representation is happening just here in our county, where a few people, the squeaky wheel, get the grease, and the rest of us that are paying the tab don't get nothing.
And that is actually what has come down to it. And I mentioned New California State, but their reason why they're coming forward to be a 51st state is to have the population, 20 million, be with New California State, and 20 million be the Bay Area and Los Angeles, the most populous areas, have those areas of population be represented by California. But our state is insolvent. We know that. It's coming out. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And they're trying to put Gavin Newsom forward as a presidential candidate and be able to. And we all know here in California how the resources have been. There's government overreach, and the resources have been badly, badly mismanaged. And Greg, I have, I think I have Mike calling in on the other line, but
no, go ahead. Go take him.
Well, I did want your input, and if you can keep it, we'll try to keep it before this next break. But I wanted your input regarding tomorrow's Board of Supervisors meeting. It's only 1 week from last week's crazy meeting. But tomorrow on the agenda, can you quickly explain why that's an agenda item and why it shouldn't be an agenda item and what we can do about it?
All right. So there's an item, and I think you're talking about the water item. But,
yes.
They voted. They needed a 4/5 vote last week. They didn't get it. Blaine Reilly of the Sustainable Waterman guy. He is not a contractor. He can't make contracts. So in the second paragraph of their contract, he's supposed to be a legitimate contractor, and he's not. The city of Paso Robles is the contractor. They're trying to spend $300,000 on something they've already studied 10 times. So why would you spend the money on this when it's already been discussed 10 times? You've already spent over $1 million on it to do the same thing. Who is getting paid off? This is either so much incompetence or ignorance.
Yeah, and I say incompetence by design. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm going to ask Mike a similar procedural question, and with regard to the Brown Act and what we as citizen taxpayers can do and get involved and just be starting to pay attention. So thank you, Greg. Thank you for bringing up those issues. And It takes people like you. It takes people just, you know, maybe take five times before people hear it. And all of a sudden they go, oh, my gosh, now I get it. Okay. But please feel free to come down to the Board of Supervisors tomorrow morning. Starts at 9 o'clock down at the 1055 Monterey. So it's Santa Rosa and Monterey, downtown San Luis Obispo. We'll see you there, Greg.
Thank you.
Okay. And welcome to KPRL. You're on the air. And Mike, is this possibly...
Darsha, how you doing?
Oh, there you go. Okay, yes. Hi, this is Darsha.
So you want to keep talking about the water deal?
Well, what I really appreciate about your background, and maybe just for 10 seconds, give us your background, why I look to you when there are procedural issues at the Board of Supervisors. What is your experience, and what are we experiencing here in San Luis Obispo County?
So I have a master's in public administration. I have a lot of postgraduate education from the Yale School of Organizational Management and NYU and the UC Berkeley College of Public Administration. So, and 43 years of experience in running cities and counties. And so, I have seen all sides of this, lived in the belly of the beast. And when I retired, I retired as the county executive officer of Santa Barbara County and thought that was it. And then was hired by a group in SLO County, said, could you help us start a collab? And then we'll find a regular person, you know, from up here to run it. And here I am 14 years later. So,
well, bless you and thank you. You know what the saying is, first you get tired and then you get retired.
Refired, yeah. So.
But your experience with Santa Barbara County being a sister county to San Luis Obispo, what have you seen transpire in the last, and I'll call it year and a half especially, but 2 years, 3 years, and 4 years maybe. So going back, what do you think changed most drastically, and what is it that's happening now that you are most concerned and alarmed and shocked about?
Well, I think you've seen the further consolidation of the left progressive movement, you know, essentially the Democratic Party being hijacked by the Socialist Party, and a whole lot of doctrine that goes back decades, of course, being incorporated into public policy. And so, you know, we see the whole business of voting without proper registration, without voter ID. We see ballot harvesting. We see very opaque vendor-provided voting systems that are electronic. We see all-mail balloting. Election day that effectively runs 30 days. I think that's one major.
Yeah,
very...
we in our county and most of the counties in the state, we have 30 days of voting and 45 days of counting those votes.
Yeah, so it's a huge problem, because what it does is it fosters the ability of those who are ineligible. You know, because they're not citizens or because they never really registered properly or whatever, to be counted and manipulated, you know, by essentially the Socialist Party in California. So that's a very major problem. We see the continued proliferation of government programs that don't work. Particularly in the realms of homelessness, transportation, housing, and so forth. One of the major problems is, and you can take SLO County as a great example, SLO County has about 3,300 square miles, or a couple of million acres. And of that, less than 4% is zoned for any type of development. So between the seven cities and the unincorporated county, there's very little land available for housing. And all these governments perpetuate that, which means that you're restricting the fundamental resource, that is the supply of land. And so it helps make things very expensive, drives up the price of existing housing, and there needs to be a major reform. Now, all this is done in the name of preventing climate change and extreme environmentalist doctrine, and the young people need to wake up, as I say to my kids.
And we're heading to a break here soon, Mike.
Crying. They can't afford housing. But at the same time, if 100 of them would show up at a Board of Supervisors meeting some Monday at 9 o'clock, and each one pull up speaker slip and say, this is outrageous, zone some land for housing.
And Mike, we're going to head into the break, and if you'll hold over through the break. But I want to talk about that item that came up with Bruce Gibson regarding the NAPOMO. He was voting for it, then he wasn't, and then he was back. So thanks. Hold on.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Elizabeth MacDonald, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks kicking off the new trading week in the green, with the Dow notching a fresh record close on expectations for lower interest rates and outperformance by tech stocks. Big tech advanced today, with Apple leading the charge, its stock rising nearly 2%. The iPhone maker's global smartphone shipments rose last quarter, according to research firm International Data Corporation. Financials gained today on upbeat earnings reports from Goldman Sachs and BlackRock, and shares of Trump Media and Technology Group, the parent company of former President Donald Trump's Truth Social platform, surged over 30%. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, and Caterpillar. The Dow decliners, Boeing, Amazon, and Salesforce. The Dow rising 211 points. The Nasdaq up 74. S&P 500 up 16. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Donald Trump Jr. here. Since January of 2021, the cost of living has increased by 17.9%. You can't get that money back, but you can stop your losses by diversifying into a gold IRA from my friends at Birch Gold Group. To learn more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word SHELTER to 989898. That's SHELTER to the number 989898 to get your free info kit from Birch Gold now.
Message and data rates may apply.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Pacific West Steel, under new ownership, specializing in metal roofing and metal siding for homes, barns, awnings, both commercial and residential, big or small, and they can do custom flashings. With a large color selection, Pacific West Steel is the leader in metal roofing and siding industry. Get the aesthetic advantage and durability. Pacific West Steel. Call Adam Andrade, 805-238-1783. That's 805-238-1783.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Since 1966, Hammond Overhead Door Company has provided residential garage doors that offer more than just a strong and secure way to close your garage. They also add beauty and value to your home. Hammond Overhead Door has the right garage door to complement your home and your budget. Hammond Overhead Door Company. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
And welcome back to the Susanna Luthi Show. This is Darcia Stebbins sitting in for Susanna Luthi. And I think I still have Mike Brown, who is still on the line. And thank you, Mike. So Mike Brown from CoLab. Mike attends every single one of the Board of Supervisors meetings that I've been to anyway. And I think you're pretty much there every single time. So thank you that you are there. And thank you that I appreciate that every time you go up and you speak in public comment or regarding a consent agenda item, that you always offer to speak with them later if they have any comments or questions. How many times do they ever take you up on that? I kind of say the same thing, you know, if anyone really wanted to know anything about what's going on in the elections and the voting machines, they can ask me. So, At any rate, so at the Board of Supervisors meeting last Tuesday, you were pretty upset about it, as were many people, because why were those items that were, especially the water issues and the Dominion contract, why should those be on a separate item, not on the consent agenda?
Yeah, they should be business items because they're matters of major concern by large segments of the public. They're complicated. There are significantly valid different points of view, and they require some study and explication and the ability of the public to fully comment. And by putting them on the consent calendar, you're sliding them under the door with 30 other items. And, you know, on the consent calendar, you don't get to speak on each item. You can only, you know, say there are 30 items. You might only have time to speak on one. So it cuts off the dialogue. And that's the absolute
purpose. That was the intent. Right. Yes. I agree. So you have members of the public who are coming forward concerned about a topic, and there were many, and even the Board of Supervisors meeting prior to that, they had something like 68 or 69 items on that consent agenda. And that, if people aren't familiar with the public meetings, anything on a consent agenda, literally, unless the supervisor or the city council or the board member, the school board member decides to pull that item for separate comment, they all can be voted on with one vote. It goes into a big...
And most of them are.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a very bad practice, and they ought to have the... So just those two items, the water item and the Dominion voting machine item, you know, needed that separate consideration. They needed perhaps particularly the Dominion voting item, since the issue is process and electronics and management, a little bit of a systems presentation to show exactly what the process is so people would understand what's at stake, you know, where there have been some misses and so forth, and that the board could carefully ask some questions to explicate and sharpen its own consideration. And that just didn't happen.
Well, could it have happened? Because in looking as Murray Powell, and there were members of the public, and Greg Graywall is consistent with this, bringing forward saying you are voting on things that cannot be voted on. If you are following the process of transparency and the Ralph M. Brown Act, they cannot be voted on here. So he even tried to use a point of order to call out and say, yeah, prior to the meeting, you know, the very start of the meeting.
That's true of the water item, mm-hmm, because it has not been processed through the structure which was set up by all the jurisdictions to manage the State Groundwater Management Act, SGMA. And so with respect to the Paso Basin, there are the county, the Santa Margarita Water District, the, not Santa Margarita, San Miguel Water District,
right,
the county, as I say, the city of Paso, and so forth. And they constitute a formula-based cooperative committee, and each of those jurisdictions should consider it, and then the cooperative committee should consider it, and then when there is accord, it would come back to the Board of Supervisors to authorize, in this case, a contract to study recharge, which there are a whole bunch of substantive issues that for that, other than these process issues.
Isn't one of the main issues is that Bruce Gibson is the treasurer of the Paso Robles Water Basin Cooperative Committee, and he's been bringing forward this water equity program. Or, you know, in draft form.
Yes, John, Debbie Arnold and John Pashong represent the majority of the overliers of the Paso Basin, right?
District 1 and District 5, correct.
Agriculture, residential, or whatever. And as soon as Bruce got his board majority, he kicked them off and interposed himself as the representative, and then took it further and appointed Matt Turrentine, who's on one of the sort of faux water districts out there, and also represents out-of-state corporate clients in the various
out of the country,
issues
even
about water in the county. And so the poor people have no representative.
Thank you. And I'm one of those. And, you know,
you
when
are, yeah, absolutely.
And I see it happening. What can we, as members of the public, who we're raising our voices, we're saying stop, this is we don't have representation. What is the process? So Rita Neal is county council. What is county council's responsibility? What is the district attorney's responsibility? Where does it go, and why isn't that happening right now?
Yeah, so Rita Neal, the county council, represents the Board of Supervisors collectively. And she shouldn't be wandering over to support one faction or the other, which is one problem. And she has deep historical ties to power brokers within the county Democratic Party. So there's a huge question there. And she should be advising them when they're taking illegal action, which exposes them to litigation, possible cost to the taxpayer, and so forth. And she has certain legal protections to be able to do that. And so that's a problem. The district attorney, you know, is presented with a variety of data about this and has broad discretion to investigate some of these things, and it might be, for all I know, but, you know, so far we haven't seen anything publicly come forth. So the public itself, again, as I say, needs to mobilize and come out when it can. Of course, if you're working a job, teaching in school, you know, running kids, whatever you do in life, it's hard to take a weekday Monday morning and Tuesday morning,
right,
and show up there, which is you know.
Well, for tomorrow's agenda, there's relatively few items on the consent agenda, and if nothing else, come down. You can watch it online, but like last week, there's nothing like being there in person.
Well, the water item's back again. Bruce Gibson, you know, said bring it back, and he's going to try. They need four votes for it because, for whatever reason, in putting the big budget together, they didn't include some of that water stuff, even though they had the state grants and everything. So I don't know if the staff
weren't those two items together?
The four vote realm.
Those two items were together, and then he continued one of the items, and this is the second item.
Yeah. So
now they're bringing this one forward.
This one's back, and it involves Murray said earlier, this $300,000 to study something that's been studied to death seven times, recharge. Nobody's explaining exactly why. And, of course, nobody's making the distinction between recharge and water banking. So recharge is the, you know, use of water that falls on the basin as rain or is in rivers or is in, you know, floods or whatever, but it adheres over or in the basin.
Mike Brown, we're talking with Mike Brown from CoLab. Mike, thank you very, very much. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Public, please join us tomorrow morning downtown San Luis Obispo at the Board of Supervisors meeting, 9 a.m. You can go to the online and pick it up online if you want to go to the agenda and the video. Okay,
Free
thanks
Talk
so
California
much.
Is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.